Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We'll get there in just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. Thank you, Brother Barker, for going to Nigeria. He's going to a place that is truly a dark world. But praise the Lord for the gospel. And it can reach as anyone, any place. Amen. And praise the Lord. Thank you for going. Our assistant pastor back in St. Louis, his last name was Barker. And so it was Brother Barker and Brother Bragg. So I guess that's what we got tonight. Amen. Brother Barker and Brother Bragg. But praise the Lord. I appreciate that. Thank you. That's a bittersweet time to come and preach here. It really is. Because we all want to hear preacher. I mean, come on. Let's be honest. I'm ready for him to be back. Amen. Pray for him the next few days. He's got a lot of traveling to do. And so keep him in prayer. But you're stuck with me tonight. So Colossians chapter 3. I want to thank you, church, by the way, for your encouragement. Many people say we're praying for you. 3 weeks ago, we were in St. Louis. 2 weeks ago, Jefferson City. Last week in Moline. And next week, we'll be in a church, a new church. Doesn't have a pastor. I've never been there before. And they're looking for a pastor. And so please pray for us. We're trying to help churches and even maybe start some. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord has. But last year, from January to December, we were in church on Sunday morning 3 times. We're praying for you, and you all are praying for us, and thank you. Thank you for your financial support. I appreciate it very, very much. And it's very much appreciated. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3, and let me just say, I appreciate Pastor asking me to come and preach again, a bittersweet. I love to preach here, but I miss the preacher, and we all do. So would you stand, please, if you found Colossians chapter 3. We'll read the first 8 verses of this chapter and get with the message that the Lord's laid on our heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1 says, "If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me to be a help to thy people, I pray. Father, use me and take me in. Lord, I pray that I'd only say those things that you'd want me to say. And first and foremost, I'd be pleasing to you. Help me to preach it correctly and clearly. And I pray that the Spirit of God would meet with us. Please, Lord, we need your presence. We need your power, we ask. Please be with Pastor and Mrs. Angel. Give them safety as they travel, we pray. Bring them back to us safely, we pray. Give him strength as he preaches, Father, we pray. And we'll thank you for it. We love you in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. Paul is writing a church that is located in the town of Colossae. I like history and I like geography. Colossae is in what we now know as Turkey. Turkey is not shaped like a turkey. Turkey is shaped like a ham loaf, amen? And so if you think about Turkey, and on the left side or the far west side, there's a town called Ephesus. Paul spent much time in Ephesus. If you go directly east from Ephesus, 100 miles, you're going to run into the town of Colossae, or the ruins of the town of Colossae. Just a little bit north of that, there's a town called Honus, did I pronounce that right? Honus, H-O-N-A-Z. I'm looking at Mrs. Barker. Did I come close in the pronunciation? Anyway, it's a city that exists today. Colossae was a major city, but it was a Gentile city. I'm not sure Paul ever visited the city, and I'll tell you why. Go to chapter 1. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. My brother-in-law, Ron Todd, you've heard him preach. Brother Todd challenged me years ago to do this. Anytime I get to a Pauline epistle, read the whole thing. Because it's a letter that's written to a church. And oftentimes we parse and pull out what we like, but the whole thing should be read so that we can get the whole flavor of the letter. But anyway, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says this, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras." Epaphras was from Colossae, our dear fellow servant who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Paul said, I heard about your love in the Spirit, and I heard this from Epaphras. And now my opinion, okay, this is my opinion. My opinion is Epaphras left Colossae, went over to Ephesus, got saved, brought the gospel back, and preached unto those people at Colossae, and they trusted Christ, started a church. Can I tell you, Paul's influence was tremendous. Tremendous. And can I tell you this? Your influence as a believer in Christ is valuable. People are watching you. We have unsaved neighbors. One lives across the street. Great guy. I mean, he'd do anything for me. And he says, I know you're going to be gone this weekend because you didn't put your flag out. And I said, yes, sir, I will be. He says, I'll keep an eye on your property. I'll make sure. I said, thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. I wish he'd get saved. But can I tell you, your influence, people see you and watch you. People at work, they know who you are. And so I don't think Paul went to this city. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I don't believe Paul went there. He could have. But some of the verses that I just read indicate that he heard about their faith and he heard about their love for the saints and he heard it from Epaphras, who was from Colossae. Now, Colossae was about 500 years old when this was written. It is no longer in existence. A few years after this was written, it was destroyed by an earthquake. And you can go there and see the ruins of Colossae. It was, again, I think it was a Gentile city, a Gentile town. Not that Paul wouldn't go to a Gentile because he was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he often went to cities where there was a synagogue first and preached to them first and then to the Gentiles. But there's no reference of a synagogue there. There's very little reference of the Jewish people there at all. Look at chapter 1 and verse number 27. To whom the Lord would make known that what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you see a city that is a Gentile city, and Paul heard of their faith and their love of the saints, and he sent Epaphras back. Epaphras brought the report back. Hey, these people got saved. Praise the Lord! And Paul writes this letter. He sends Tychicus to minister to these disciples, these Gentile believers. By the way, Onesimus, the slave of Philemon, is from this city. Now, I know you all don't care about all that stuff, but that just excites me. Why? Because it all ties together. You say, well, we have such a small world. No, 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 no. We have a big God. We have a big God. And so Paul lays the foundation, as he often does, in chapters 1 and 2, and we won't take time to read it. There's only 4 chapters in this book, so in this letter. But he gets to chapter 3, and he's going to encourage, chapter 1 and 2, he warns them. There's obviously worship, false worship in this town. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. I'd like to study that phrase out a little bit more. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Can I tell you this, folks? Angels are not naked little babies or blonde-haired women. They are men, always male in nature. Amen. There's all kinds of crazy teaching going on today. People, when people die, they don't become angels. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's crazy. I hear all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, my grandmother died. She's an angel. She's with... No. She's either in heaven or hell. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And so they had that type of worship there. Not only that, but they had kind of an attitude of certain things you could eat and certain things you couldn't eat. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 21. Well, verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. So they had this attitude on when worshiping angels, and you can't eat this, and you can't. Can I tell you, the Bible is so up to date. It sounds exactly what's happening today. By the way, there was fornication because it says in verse number 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, the word fornication, it comes from the word pornea, pornography. And it is rampant in our country today. And so they have these people that are worshiping angels, but oh, don't eat this and don't eat that. And Paul warned them and said, look, this is, you do not want to follow the rudiments of men and the philosophy, vain philosophy. He says that. Chapter 2, the first part of it. So I said all that to give you background to verse chapter 3 and verse number 1, which is where I was working toward. And I had to hurry because it's a long message. Amen. He says this, if ye then being risen with Christ. That's a big if. Big if. What he's saying is if you're saved. If you're saved. Now, how many are saved? You know the Lord is your Savior. So he's talking to us. We can make the application. If ye then being risen with Christ, if you're saved. Can I tell you, sometimes I think we lose sight of what it means to be saved. Can I tell you, if you're saved, all your sins are immediately and completely forgiven. Amen. Psalm 103 verse 12 says he casts them as far as the east is from the west and buries in the depths of the sea and puts a sign up and says no fishing. Amen. Hey, all of our sins are forgiven. The sinner, the sinner becomes a child of God. I'm telling you, I am a child of God. It amazes me. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 12, it says, he came into his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I am a child of God. That just amazes me. I deserve hell, but I'm a child of God, praise the Lord. A sinner is delivered from sin. Now, we are delivered from the penalty of sin right now. And by the way, let me just remind you of this. You said, well, it's terrible out there in the world. Yes, it is. It sure is. But I want to remind you what Romans chapter 5 says. Where sin doth abound, grace did much more abound. I don't care how far you go. God does not run out of grace for his people. Amen. You say, well, I can't live as a Christian. I dare to say you can live as a Christian. It's not that you can, it's that you won't or we won't. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Secondly, we've been delivered from the power of sin. Well, I'm just that way. Quit making excuses for yourself. Well, that's the way my dad was, my mom was. Break the cycle. Amen. If ye then being risen with Christ, do you realize we have the same power, the resurrection power of Jesus living in us? You don't have to do that. Amen. And then someday, hallelujah, and I'm looking forward to this, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. I'm looking forward to that. And so we're delivered from sin. And then the sinner becomes an heir with Christ, Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And then the sinner inherits a heavenly home, John 14, 1 through 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house and many mansions. We're not so, I would have told you. Can I tell you, there's no such thing as a maintenance-free home. If somebody tries to sell you a maintenance-free home, they're lying to you. Every home I've ever had a lot of maintenance to it. But I got a home in heaven, hallelujah, that has no maintenance to it. If there it is, the angels are going to take care of it. Amen. I'm getting off track here. Number six, something else that we have, and I love this one. A sinner becomes a saint. You know, they could have introduced me as St. Edward tonight. If you're saved, you're a saint. Amen. Even the carnal Christians, carnal believers, hate to use that phrase carnal Christians because that's like an oxymoron. Carnal believers in Corinth were called saints. See, when Jesus saves you, he changes you forever. Amen. So Paul is saying, if ye then being risen with Christ, he said, if you're saved, now listen carefully to this. If you miss everything else, listen to this. This if is not an if of condition. What's an if of condition? Parents, if you do that again, I am going to whatever. If it was my children, I used to say, if you do that again, I'm going to rip your arm off and beat you over the head with a bloody end. If of condition, if you do that again, I will paddle you. That's a conditional if. Here's another one. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a conditional if. This is not a conditional if. This is an if of argument. What do you mean by that, Brother Bragg? If you are a man, act like a man. That's not condition. That's an argument. Prove it. If you are a woman, act like a woman. And there's nothing else in between. There's only two. And the height of rebellion, the height of human rebellion is to say to your Creator, I don't want to be what you made me. If you're a man, act like a man. If you're a woman, act like a woman. Amen. Here's another one. If you're married, act like you're married. If you're unmarried, don't act like you're married. Are you all with me? It's an if of argument. It's kind of like the one the guy said on the thief on the cross. If thou be the Son of God, come down from there. The problem was the very, very reason Jesus was dying so that that man could have salvation. He didn't recognize the Savior. Here's another one. If you're an American politician, please be for America. If you're an American politician and you're not for America, get out of politics. Amen. Here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying this. If you're saved, act like you're saved. That's basically the message. If you're saved, here's the title of the message. Christian character does matter. This is Wednesday night church. I don't feel like I have to preach because everybody's in these list of sins. But can I tell you, here's what happens. We all know those who have drifted away. And things don't matter to them anymore. And if we're not careful, it starts working on our minds as well. Can I tell you, we need to hold the line of Christian character. Christian character. You say, Brother Bragg, what's Christian character? This is Ed Bragg definition, okay? Here it is. Habitually displaying Bible truth in your life. Habitually displaying Bible truth in your life. Now, you got to know the Bible to have that. So he said, if ye then being risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. Hey, quit seeking things on earth. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And see what God will do with you in verse number 4. Slay or mortify the deeds of your body. And so if you're saved, we need to act like it. Not like the ones in Titus chapter 1, verse 16. Paul sent Titus to Crete to straighten out some things with the Cretans. And here's what Paul said to Titus. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and a disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Wow, I would hate to have the work that I'm doing, the good work that I'm doing, be reprobate. That's exactly who they were. Slow bellies, you can read it in Titus. So Paul says, if you're a Christian, act like a Christian. The first point of the message is this. We are a new creation in Christ, so we should seek Christ. Again, Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For if you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. There was a wicked philosophy in those days that our soul is saved, but it doesn't matter what happens to our body. So let's just eat, drink, and be merry. It doesn't matter. Can I tell you? It does matter. It matters to God. And by the way, I'm not talking about dress standards. I'm talking about something far deeper than that. Look at what it says here, verse 5. Mortify therefore upon your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, a longing, a lusting, a desire after sexual things, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Can I tell you, almost every advertisement has this phrase to it, you need this. You need this. In times past, some of you will remember, advertisements would say something like, this will last you a long time. They don't care about how long it lasts. In fact, they'd rather it wear out pretty quickly so you can need another one real soon. They were concerned about eating and drinking, but not concerned about their life. If we as new creatures in Christ, new creation in Christ, if we're saved, then we need to seek Christ. Number two, being a new creation in Christ requires a new conduct in our lives. Now that we're saved, we're on a different path. I remember what preacher was talking about not too long ago, about walking in the Spirit, walking in the flesh. He says if you're walking in the flesh, you're going opposite of walking in the Spirit. You can't do both. Y'all are with me. And Paul said to the church at Corinth, hey, mortify the deeds of your body. Now, look, Jesus saved us, but mortify, that's your job. That's my job. I'm to mortify those deeds. And Christian character does matter. Look, we got saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We have so much in Christ. I'm saved forever. But between now and the time Jesus comes or we die, it does matter what we do. That's what he's trying to tell the church at Corinth. He said it does matter. Mortify means to subjugate. By absence, self-inflicted suffering. Put that away. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Amen? We taught that to our children. But somehow we lose sight of that as we get a little older. Let me hurry. Look at chapter 3, verse number 5. We've read that. Look verse number 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Can I tell you this? My brother and I were talking the other day, and the older you get, when I was younger, I had a temper. And I had to learn to control that temper. Can I tell you, as you get older, that old thing wants to come back. And I didn't even talk about driving tonight. I kind of stayed away from that. But I'm going to tell you something. That temper gets sometimes the best of me when I'm driving. Amen? Do I hear amen from the other truckers? Amen? And then it says filthy communication out of your mouth. Hey, that was the past. Them old words come close. And by the way, this is what has astounded me. Working in a secular world, it's almost, you hear it constantly. And you have to put off the old man. You have to. Because we are a new creature in Christ. And it requires new conduct. Verse number 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. Even if any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ also forgave you, so also do ye. It's not just putting off, but you also have to put on. Because if all you do is put off, you'll be going right back to the old stuff sometime. You've got to put on. You've got to put off the old man, put on the new. Christian character does matter. Number 3, and I'm hurrying. Being a new creation demands a new character of life. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 12. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Brother Ben preached about this last Wednesday. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In the very next verse, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Do you know where this Christian character should start? Oh, Brother Bragg, it starts here at the church. It starts where we work. I'm sorry, friend, it starts at home. It starts at home. You can't have hate in a home and then go out and love the world or love them to Christ. It doesn't work. You can't have unforgiveness at home and be the type of Christian, Christ-like, you should be. Amen. Starts at home. Starts at home. Being a new creation demands a new character in our... You say, Brother Bragg, how do I change the character of my life? Very simple. Stop doing what you were doing as a sinner and start doing what Jesus wants you to do as a saved person. That's pretty much it. Put off the old man, put on the new man. By the way, Christian character isn't the absence of sinful desires. Christian character is practicing what is right despite your sinful desires. Because as we learn from James, every man is tempted. Amen. Last point. I got 1 minute. Character is asking God to correct your failures and sinfulness by seeking His forgiveness through Christ. I'll say that again. Christian character is saying, Christian character is not being perfect. Because there ain't nobody. Amen? It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The one that gives me the biggest problem is not the one that turns left in front of me without a turn signal. The one that gives me the biggest problem is the guy that I shave every day. It's me. Preacher hit me in the heart the other night when he was talking about forgiveness. He made this statement. He said, older Christians sometimes think they don't need to confess. Did anybody else hear that? Boy, that nailed me. Because you get to the point where, okay, I've been saved for over 50 years. I've been preaching for 40 years. No, and that's not true. How long have I been? Hey, a long time. Longer than I can remember. Surely I don't have to confess anything. Wrong. Let me give you this last verse. I'll give you one more verse and one story and we'll quit. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Preacher has been preaching through the model prayer. What a tremendous, tremendous messages. And the last one about forgiveness, and he made the statement, it's absolutely essential that we forgive. But you remember the outline. We need to assume responsibility. Then we need to agree with God. That's what the word confess means. And then we need to accept the forgiveness that God gives us. Character says, God, it's me. I made the mistake. I've got a character flaw and I need your help. I need to put off the old man and put on the new. Put my paper away. My brother-in-law, Ron Todd, said that it was his second or third church that he had started there in Costa Rica, and he said that a woman from Germany came to visit. Costa Rica is a free country, and they have it's a beautiful country, but they have a lot of tourists there, and especially along the coast because there's great surfing there in that area, and on the Pacific side, I think it is. And so there was a lady that came, and she showed up at church, at the church that he had started, and she spoke English, and he said, I don't know why I asked her this question, but he said, I asked her this question. I said, are you a Christian? He said, normally don't ever ask me about that. I normally ask him, are you saved? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? Every time when you trusted Christ? He said, I asked her, are you a Christian? And he said, the response I'll never forget. He said, she looked at me for a moment, and she said, well, if you're asking, am I saved? Yes, I'm saved. But she says, if you're asking if I'm living like Christ, I'm not sure I can answer that question. Friend, that's honesty. I'm saved. Wait a minute. Are we living like Christ? I'm preaching to me. Are we living like Christ? If ye then being risen with Christ, I didn't even get into the power of God, because that's what he's talking about. We have the power of God in us. If you're a Christian, please act like it. Father, we pray now that you bless the Word of God. And Lord, thank you for writing and giving us the book of Colossians. Lord, thank you for inspiring Paul to write it. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to follow the admonition. If we are saved, then Lord, please help us. Help us to act like it, we pray. Father, I don't think people in this room are disobedient and rebellious against you. I don't think that. But Lord, we all can use help in our character, in displaying Bible truth in our life. And Lord, we're always good, and I am good at dressing up and come to church, but Lord, what am I like on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday? What am I doing then? Lord, am I putting forth Christ? Help the invitation, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. And for thy sake, we pray. Pianist is playing. Would you stand? If you want to use the altar, you come. Say, God, help me in a certain area. God dealt with your heart about it. And just need help in this area, Lord. And maybe it's something you've battled for a long, long time. It's okay. Keep battling. Keep fighting.